Scripture reading today is Ephesians 1, verse 18 and 19. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might.
We're going to be in Ephesians for a while, but I want to bring this book back up. I saw some of you guys that had your books, you brought them back today, but I want to let you guys know what this really is. This is a book that, as we go through the sermons on Sunday morning, this is a book so that you can follow along, take notes. I'm not changing anything, just something that you can take home if you want to take home and study when you get home. Also, if you open it up, you can put your name so it belongs to you. We're going through the letter to the Ephesians. You can see where we're going to be going. You can see how to use this study also. Another thing is you have the scripture off to the side. You can take notes. And when you go home, you can take deeper. If we don't answer some of the questions that are asked, you can go home, dive in a little bit deeper if you want to, do that kind of study. And if you have a friend that wants to study along with you, you can do that as well and have that. Then also, if you look on the next page of notes, if you want to take notes, you can also see the scripture connections. I want you guys, as you go through the scriptures, to be making those connections throughout the scriptures of God's word, of how you can see where it connects and how it all is woven in together. And then also, if you look back on the page 8, you look at these are just our meditation and prayer. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for, and sometimes we don't know how to pray, but it gives us a prayer and meditation, and one of the things is being sealed in him. It's a blessing that we know that we have the Holy Spirit and that we can be sealed in him, being having every blessing in the heavenly places as well. I mean, these are blessings and things we can definitely take note of and be paying attention to as we go through God's word and as we build on our faith in the letter to the Ephesians. So I encourage you to pick up a book, take it home, go through it, read it, take your time with it, understand so that you can get closer to God and be in his word. That's the main point. Being in his word and also taking notes as we go through the sermons, because God has a lot of things that he speaks in his word that's for us. So that's what these books are for. If you forget it at home, just wait till next week. Or if you leave it at home by accident, just, you know, can't get one every single Sunday. So just take your time, take notes, and then the next Sunday, remember to bring it. So definitely that's what these are for. So that's just a... Are we excited that we're going through the letter of Ephesians? Amen?
Amen.
I hope we are excited because God has a lot to reveal to us. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, but I want us to pay attention to verse 18. I want us to really pay attention to verse 18 because Paul is really speaking to us and speaking to these Gentile converts in Ephesians. And he has a lot to say. And the things that he's saying here in Ephesians, he wants these Gentile converts to learn something. He wants them to know some things. And he's trying to bring them into their spiritual maturity, as to he's trying to do with us as well. But look at verse 18 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? He wants us to know something. And before we can grow in our maturity and understand certain things, we have to experience, understand, and learn and have the knowledge of some things that he's going to bring these Gentile converts into. He wants them to grow in their maturity. He's bringing them to their spiritual maturity. And if you look at verse 18, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know the hope of his calling. So let's break that down. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart. Is he telling us your eyes have heart? The heart has eyes? No, he's not telling us that our eyes are on our hearts. He's not telling us anything like that. But like I've said, he's trying to bring us into the spiritual maturity. He wants them to know some things. He wants them to know the hope of his calling. So that's the first thing we're going to get into. What is the hope of his calling, he says? And look at that. Look back at chapter 1. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. This is the hope of his calling. This is the hope of his calling. He says, verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. What else does he want us to know, the hope of his calling? That he wants us to know that we've been adopted as sons through Christ Jesus in himself, through his will. What else does he want us to know? That we are praise of his glory. What does he want us to know? He wants us to know that this is a spiritual thing, and he wants us to grow into that maturity in Christ Jesus, and knowing and understanding and experiencing those things. So why is it important that we know the hope of his calling? It's important that we know the hope of his calling because we understand that we have been saved by grace. He wants us to know that we've been saved by grace, not on our own merit, but he wants us to know the hope of his calling so that we know that we've been saved not on our own merit, but that we have been saved by his grace. So because if we truly believe that we've been saved by our own merit, then we will stop and we will no longer trust in the God and the creator of the universe and author of our salvation. So that's why it's important that we know the hope of his calling. Another thing that we need to know about the hope of his calling is what we've been invited into. We have been invited into something. And he wants us to know that, because if you don't understand what you've been invited into in Christ Jesus, then you will never know that you can be blameless. You will never know that you have received every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You will never know that you have redemption. You will never know that you've been adopted as sons of God in Christ Jesus. You won't know those things. So he wants to make sure that these Gentile converts, he also wants us to know that we have been saved, and that he is striving, and he wants us to come into our spiritual maturity, understanding that wisdom and having that understanding that comes through Christ Jesus. But not only does he want us to know the hope of his calling, he also, look at verse 18, he also wants us to know the riches of the glory that he has and the inheritance he has in the saints. I think that is so amazing that God himself has an inheritance in us. In us. If you actually look at the First Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, I'll read that. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it for you. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1 says, when Saul is being anointed as king over Israel. It says, when Samuel took the flask of oil, he poured it on his head, kissed him, and said, has not the Lord anointed a ruler over his inheritance? Over his inheritance. What's his inheritance? This inheritance is the people that God has invested in you and I. And I think we have got to pay attention and understand that. And if you don't understand and know that God has an inheritance that he's invested in you, then it won't change the way you live. It won't change the way you look at people. It won't change the way you view God and trust in him. He wants you to know the hope of his calling. He wants you to know that you've been saved by grace. He wants you to know that he has an inheritance in you. And once you know that once we know, go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Man, God has an inheritance in us, towards us who believe. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. It says, of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me on your behalf, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. What's been manifested? What is this mystery, Paul? What are you talking about? Why are we an inheritance? Look at verse 27. He says, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. What is the mystery? Among the Gentiles, which is in Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is amazing. Right there. So what's the inheritance? That God has, we can glorify our God, and we can obey his word, and we can show Christ to anybody. And Christ in us is his inheritance. Does that make sense? Christ himself, God has sent Christ down from heaven. He's given it to, he's come to us. He's come to us. I got distracted. Hold on. Man. Verse 27, though, he says this. I want us to focus here on verse 27. He says, God says he has given us an inheritance. He has given us this. He has glorified Christ Jesus. And guess where Christ dwells? He dwells in the hearts of those who believe in him. He dwells in the hearts of us who believe in him. He says to verse 27, to whom God willed to make known was the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ, which is Christ in you. And he says, verse 28, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose I have labored, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. So he says, and Christ has come down, Christ dwells in the hearts of those who believe, and that is the inheritance right there, that Christ is completely dwelling in the hearts of the people who believe in God. I think that is a blessing that we have got to pay attention to. That we have to pay attention to. But not only does Christ dwelling in us through faith, that's his inheritance that he has in you and I. But Christ, God also doesn't, he not only wants us to know the hope of his calling, he not only wants us to know the riches of the glory and that he has in the saints, but look at the last part of this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. He says, I pray that you, the eyes of your heart be enlightened so that you will know what the hope of his calling is, so that you know the riches of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. So I want us to really focus and really pay attention and not let the outside things bother us at this moment in time. So look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. He wants us to know something, and he wants us to understand and really have a working knowledge of what he's about to tell us. He says, I want you to know what the surpassing greatness of his power toward us is. And he says, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. So what is this surpassing greatness? What is this surpassing greatness that he wants us to know about? Look at verse 20. He says, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. So what is this surpassing greatness? The surpassing greatness is that he sent Christ to earth. Christ conquered, or God conquered death through Christ so that you and I could have life. That is amazing. Amen?
Amen.
That is amazing. Some of y'all aren't impressed. I can look at some of y'all, you guys' eyes, y'all are impressed with that. So I want to try to put it in reality. So I want you to think with me the power that is. When was the last time you went to down to the cemetery? You saw a widow and she's distressed, she lost her spouse, and you walked over to the headstone, or you saw somebody walk over to the headstone, not rub the headstone, tap on the ground a little bit. Don't be sad. Your husband is alive again. When was the last time anybody has seen that or done that? I'll wait. No one. No one in here has the surpassing greatness to bring somebody back from the dead to give somebody else life. That we know someone who has done that. Amen?
Amen.
And that is the surpassing greatness he wants us to be involved in. That's the surpassing greatness he wants you to understand and have a working knowledge that through only in Christ Jesus can we have life. Only in Christ Jesus can you be fulfilled to the max and not have be voided and be chasing after the wind. Only in Christ can we have our spiritual wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Only in Christ can we have life eternal with the Father. No one has. That's impressive. No one has that kind of power. And every knee shall bow, because God is that good. He is that great. He is mighty. So he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Why? So that you know the hope of his calling. You know what he has asked of us. You know he wants you to know that you've been invited into the grace of God and have been saved. He wants you to know the riches of the glory that he has, of the inheritance that he has in you. And that's Christ dwelling completely in you in a full richness. And then he says, I want you to know the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his strength and might. Why? Because he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead. When he raised him, made himself. I love it. I love reading it. I love knowing it. I love having a working knowledge that God raised Christ. He conquered death so that we could all have life. Man. We can now be free of the shame. We can now be free of the guilt that plagues us and that eats on our minds at nights, and then we lose sleep at night. We can lose the timidity in our hearts and our souls, and we can have confidence because God has given us power. He's given us wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And we know that he has glory within us because Christ is in us. And he has an inheritance in you and I. Amen. But then he also wants us to know, I'll conclude with this, he also wants us to know this. All these gifts that we have, that we can possess in the heavenly places, all these gifts that he's given us that we can have, that we have access to, he says in verse 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet and gave Jesus as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Christ is the beginning, and Christ is going to be the end. He has the first say. He has the only say. He has the first, and he has the last say. And he has given us the ability. He has given us the authority, not power. I want us to get, don't get on your high horse. But God has not given us the authority to preach the gospel to a lost world, to think that we're better than anybody. I want us to understand that and understand that, because sometimes as Christians, we take this power and we take it to the people, don't we? Amen? Oh, don't act like y'all. Everybody's humble in here. Now y'all lying again. Everybody's not humble in here, right? Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's not lie. You know, so there have been times where as Christians we take this power that we think we have, and we tell people about God in the most arrogant of ways. But that's not what we've been called for. We've been called to shed light on the gospel and who Christ is, to show people that there is life on earth only in Christ Jesus. We have a Savior. We've been richly blessed. We have love. We have kindness. We are an inheritance of God. We've been richly blessed with his grace. And we can let others know that they can have life in Christ Jesus. And we do that in the most humble way, in a reverent way, knowing whose we are. I think it's amazing that he has given us that ability to do so. By the way we live, by the way we speak, and how kind we are to one another. It is not our job to be arrogant, mean, or condescending, or thinking we're better than anybody. Because at the end of the day, we are in need of a Savior, in the need of the blood of Christ Jesus, everybody. And so he wants us to impart that knowledge and that understanding to the world. And he's done that. How has he done that? Through the church. How else are we going to hear about Jesus' good works only, and I'm not saying church is a building, only by the God's people will we hear of the grace that we can have, that has been blessed, that has been bestowed upon us through his kind will and not even of our own. But it has to be the church that's going to do it. The schools aren't going to do it. Unless you're going to a private school. But the schools aren't going to do it. The big organizations around the world aren't going to do it. It's God's people that understand the wisdom, the knowledge, and what God has done. Those are the ones who are going to let the light shine for God. So again, I close with this. I want us to go home, and I want us to be thinking about these things, the prayer and meditation, praying on His, praying and giving thanks to His surpassing greatness, praying and giving thanks that He put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet and gave Him head of all things to the church. Because if He would have given it to any of us, it wouldn't be the church. It just wouldn't be the church. So He wants us to know the surpassing greatness. He wants us to know what the hope of His calling, and He wants us to know the inheritance that He has in the saints. As we go through the letter of Ephesians, God is trying to, through the letter of Ephesians, He wants us to grow into this maturity that He has for us. He wants us to grow into this. He wants us to experience this maturity. He wants us to grow in this maturity. And He wants us to spread that love and that kindness. And that is the maturity as we are in Christ Jesus. So if you haven't understood what the maturity is in growing in Christ, if you haven't accepted Christ, then there's a time that's going to be set aside that you can accept Christ Jesus, the gospel, in your life before it's everlasting too late. And if also if you're a Christian and you've been slack in your devotion to God and your adoration to God, and there's a time that will be set aside in just a moment. But if you have any need, the church will help in any way that we can. It is our job. It is our obligation. It is our love to help those who are in need if we can provide that need. So if you have a need, if you want to come forward and speak those things, you have an offer of thanksgiving, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.